Hello, I'm Katie and welcome to another episode of the Leadership Lounge, which is a space for you to get a fresh take on your world as a healthcare leader. So this month I've been focusing on great gratitude and gratefulness, very much inspired by the annual Grateful in April campaign, and I just like doing it because it just gives that bit of a boost and a focus, and I'm just reminded of things and take a slightly different perspective or think about something a bit differently. So I just like revisiting topics that I believe are core to how we stay well. And I've shared a couple of those stories as to why gratitude is so important in those dark moments, those moments where you just think everything is lost. That's when gratitude really comes into its own. So gratitude this month and this time around for me has really been about connections. There's been some tough things that have gone on for other people. And to be able to connect with people in dark moments, in tough times, to just hug them, to be there for people, I just get really reminded of how grateful I am that we have each other. And so that brings me on to the topic I really wanted to share with you today in your space as a healthcare leader. And this was an idea of those people that you have got around you. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can think about this and look about this. And I have been known in one of the I Am No Jedi emails to describe this as your advisory board. And you know, some people, it's kind of like that collection of people that are there to give you some support or advice. But other people could call it, Brené Brown calls it her square squad. Lewis Howes calls it her dream team. So there are different names for it. But essentially, this is a group of people that you build up around you, that you can turn to. They're there to inspire you, to give you wisdom, but also to hold you to account. It could be a group of people that help supplement your skills and experience with their own. So you've usually got a diverse range of people and different experiences. They're also a group of people that you can check in on when facing particular decisions or during uncertain times. And I know the other way that I particularly use some people within my advisory board are they to sense check feedback that you get, because sometimes you get feedback that can knock you slightly and you do question, you go, oh my goodness, am I really like that? Is that true? And it's quite good to talk that through with somebody. So that's what one is. So why would you need it? And one of my favorite quotes of all time from Brené Brown is, we don't have to do it all alone. We are never meant to. There's this idea that we are actually wired for connection. If you think about Maslow's hierarchy and those safety needs right at the bottom and food and water and shelter, the second one up is connection. And there's been some thinking around this that actually if you were to redesign that or rethink about it now, connection would actually be right in that bottom layer because we can't survive without each other. So I love that idea that we're not supposed to do it on our own. That actually getting help, support, advice, accountability from each other is how it's meant to be. When we look at certain things, I'm really strong in autonomy and independence and all of that kind of stuff. And so even for people that have that really strongly like I do, I know I can't do this on my own. The range of skills and strengths that I've got do not, by any stretch of the imagination, allow me to do all the things that I need to do. So we are meant to have other people around us. And what's really cool about this idea of the advisory board is that you're actually curating the ones that you want. And like I said, it's about a range of people. You don't want all people that are all like you and that all look like you, sound like you and think like you. There's not a lot of point there. There's not going to be the stretch or the perspective. So why would you bother? Why would you bother to go and get one? I've told you about some of the reasons that you might form one, but what's the purpose behind that? So could be about your own progress, You could be working towards goals that you've set yourself, or you're trying to stretch yourself in some shape or form, and you need that sense checking, encouragement, push, challenge from people around you. Maybe people that have been there and done that before, or maybe it's people that you know can keep a level head, or know that have got a wide range of experiences. So it's how you're going to help you travel or gain what you want to gain in your career or the work that you're doing. So it's about that, the different perspectives, opening your eyes and your mind to the fact that there are way more possibilities than you initially thought of. You know those times when you're in that conversation, you went, oh yeah, that's a good idea, never thought of that. People's experiences, the books they've read, the families they've come from, they bring you and they open up that world to you. So you've got yours, and there's a range and an immense, you know, wealth of knowledge and skills that you're bringing into the conversation. And here's someone that can bring even more in. So that's one way. It's that stretch towards the goals or the piece of work that you're working on. But they're also there to be a support and encouragement on those tough days. Those, why am I bothering? Is there any purpose? Why do I keep getting up and doing this? The people that are going to remind you of why it is what you do, remind you of the difference that you make, and to be there as that kind of a cheerleader and encourager. Now, they can also be there to challenge your thinking, to say things like, are you sure about that? Is that really the case? Where did you get that information from? So the ones that can just give you that pause for thought to stop, particularly when, I mean, I know I really like this when I am spiraling. I've made up a story about something, quite convinced that it's about XYZ, and someone just challenges me and stops that spiral. Because I've made up a 50 million different scenarios because of this one little comment, and actually there's no data to support that. There's also those people that are going to help pull your head in when you're just acting a bit ridiculous. Some of the hardest and toughest feedback I've ever received has been very purposefully given to me with kindness. But it has reminded me to go, you know what, no, I am acting like a bit of a fool here. I need to step up, or I need to have a look at myself and what am I doing. So they'll challenge your behaviour, challenge your thinking. And that can very easily sit alongside holding you to account. I love these people that do this for me. Am I going to get this done by then? When did you say you're going to do this? Why, you know, just keeping me account. This has become more powerful for me as I'm working more independently. But equally within a team, you know, it can be really easy to go, oh yeah, I've been too busy. But actually, you need people, have you? What have you been busier with? We said this was important. Why haven't you managed to get to it? So with all of that stuff, there's a whole list of reasons there as to the benefits that it's going to give you, so why you need one. But in general, it's also just broadening you out to a wider and more expanded network, which has additional benefits. Now, there's a whole load of stuff that we could say about networks. I have no idea. Oh my goodness. Recording this podcast is quite hysterical, because I've not done the thing that maybe you're supposed to do, like sit yourself and lock yourself in a little room. I'm just sitting at my desk, and today the window is open and there was a noise. I presume it was a helicopter. Couldn't quite see it, but the noise through my headphones was massive. So I have no idea if you heard that. This is me just still learning how on earth to do a podcast. Maybe I'll make a note to close the window next time. Anyway, apologies if there was a big helicopter. What was I talking about? So this idea about a network. Now, your network, what a network could look like, what a network is, all of that kind of stuff, which is very different to networking, is the only thing I'll say right now, is another topic for another week. Make a note, maybe next week. But it's given you all those extra people, right? Those connections. We start to expand and broaden out a network. You're not just sitting around with the same people, the same thinking and the same experiences. You'll start to broaden things out, and that's got additional benefits as well. So there you go. We're not supposed to do this alone. Having help, getting advice, it's all good. It's going to help you on the projects you're working on, the development you want to make. Gives you more possibilities and perspectives. So lots of good reasons why to have an advisory board or a square squad. That is actually quite hard to say. Now, the square squad idea from Brené Brown is a good example of about how you form who are these people then. She calls it a square squad because in her mind, these are people that have earned the right to hear your story. Because if you think about what these people are there for, they can often or could be there at your very darkest, worst moments. They could be there to see you at your most vulnerable. And so these are people that there has to be an enormous amount of respect and trust and that shared vulnerability space. So it's not supposed to be loads of people, in Brené Brown's opinion. So she says you take a piece of paper an inch square and that's who you write on there. My blog post about square squad, that was a ridiculous thing to put when I'm trying to talk, is one of my most read blog posts. So I will do a link to that in the show notes. So this is her idea of how you just form that very select group of people. And so she talks about exactly how to do it on that piece of paper, but she's talking about it's the list of people whose opinions matter. They are people who care enough about you to be honest rather than telling you what you want to hear. They should not be people who will just blindly agree with you no matter what. People on your list love you not despite of your vulnerability and imperfections, but because of them. They will point out when you are out of your integrity or when you have messed up, and they will support you to fix things. The paper is small because it forces you to narrow the list to only those people who have earned the right to an opinion. And then she finishes off by saying, don't listen to criticism from people who aren't on your square squad. It is hurtful and unproductive. She does this great thing. She says it's not your suck up squad. They're not the yes people. It are other people that are really going to hold you to account to challenge that thinking. So 1 inch by 1 inch is actually very small. So I challenge you to have a go at that. The time that I really dug into this was a time when I was suffering from a concussion or recovering from a concussion. And it was a really tough time for a whole load of reasons. And I still have the 1 inch by 1 inch piece of paper of those people at that point in time that were totally there for me and totally could see me at those moments and I could trust completely, but weren't going to just blindly agree with me no matter what I said, which during that recovery was really important. So we've got Brené Brown's way of suggesting that you come up with this list of people. Another space is I've lost the website now. The Mentorloop is the website, and it talks about who you should have on your webs on your square squad. Okay, I think I managed to pause the recording there a bit because we then had a scream of sirens going past as well. So yeah, definitely making a note, close doors and windows before starting to record. So I think I managed to pause. Okay. So where were we? So we're talking about Mentorloop. I'll put a link to their website, but they make it sound quite a lot more formal in their how-to guide about establishing one. But it's a good list and you can take from things. So it's clarify your goals, identify your potential members, and then set the expectations. What is each member, what can they offer? Do they know that you're on? Do they know that they're being considered to be on your board? Set expectations, meet regularly, and then express gratitude. So it is a bit of a big circle, because these people are very much the people that you are enormously grateful for as your career progresses and as you work through various different aspects that you're working towards. So MentorLoop has a great site. It goes into how to pull the people together, suggesting that you're ensuring that they're on that fit your vision, and so it's that purpose bit. Be really clear about what you want to form the board for. Another great article I found on LinkedIn, which gives you a list of seven. It says seven people you need on your personal advisory board. So this was quite a good list as well. So this takes it from a different perspective. Now, the seven people that it suggests is to have a mentor. So that's someone who has done the sort of things that you've done and that can give you perspective on your life and your career. Then you've got a career coach. Now, again, I think the difference between mentoring and coaching, that's another topic for another day. And I must remember to make notes of all these things that are coming up as I'm working through this. But a coach, exactly like a sports team would have a coach, or a leadership coach is a phenomenal asset. And I remember when I started receiving coaching that it felt like a real investment in myself and my career, and it definitely helped me navigate some tricky circumstances, move through things that I wanted to move through, and take leaps and bounds into the spaces that I wanted to work into. The third person that they suggest is a therapist advisor. So this is more about thinking broader about your life, your well-being, and that, bringing in the aspects of spirituality, wellness into that. So an advisor in that space. Fourth person that they recommend on this article is someone to advise you in terms of finances. Now, I think, to be honest, all the time I've been working in healthcare, I didn't really think about finances that much. But there are still things like, planning for retirements or saving for things or learning how to invest, or even if it's around the finances within your role. If you've suddenly become a leader and you now have a budget to be responsible for, or you're trying to understand things, someone that can really understand that financial aspect. The fifth person they recommend is what they call a local role model. So it's somebody who is an expert in your industry, in your own town and city. So someone who is it that you may want to be like one day? I kind of think about this. That's the person I want to be when I grow up. So you can see whose career footsteps you'd like to tread in, or to establish your own reputation in a way that they have done. So somebody that's close to the space that you're working in, but someone who's local that you can go and have a coffee with them. The next person that they recommend is someone from a slightly bigger perspective, so national or international. So a person of influence or someone that you really admire. So I have in this space a few people, and you'll have picked up people like Simon Sinek, Brené Brown, Stephen Covey. There are some very well-renowned and well-respected writers and thought leaders in this space of leadership. So they're the people, and I'll often stand and think, okay, what would they say at this moment, or what would they do in this, or where can I find some inspiration from one of them, from one of their books? So that idea of the people that you might not necessarily meet in person, but that you can tap into their wisdom. Now, this one I thought was really interesting, number seven, was to have a protege. Having a younger advisor at least 7 years your junior. They say this is important because it keeps you humble, and you may realise you don't know as much as you think you do. They also say that they'll impart a renewed energy, and they'll tell you quite candidly about this. Now, why I think this is really cool, and some work I'm doing at the moment has really reminded me of this. We know we're coming up to having five generations, different generations in the workforce, and there are nuances and subtleties that are really interesting and important to understand, or at least to have conversations about. No generation wants to be put into a box and said, oh, all Gen Xers are like this, or all millennials are like that, or all boomers are like this. But there are some nuances, and I think it is an interesting conversation to have now. We've got so many, such a spread within the workforce. And I think learning to understand what matters to people. And when I've been talking to people that are a lot younger than me, I've been talking with a group of 20-somethings who have just stepped into a project role within healthcare, and their commitment, determination, motivation, enthusiasm have just absolutely blown me away. They've also been really open to ideas and career conversations that I don't think I was at that age. So it's been really, really interesting. And just subtleties in language and communication, how to communicate. So I really, really liked that idea of having someone younger on your advisory board. So there we go. Wrapping it back right round to being grateful for connections. I've run through a whistle-stop tour of some ideas around how to form your own advisory board, what an advisory board is, what difference it could make for you, and yeah, those first steps that you could make towards putting out a list of people that could be on your advisory board. And as we were reminded, this is a space that you can then express your gratitude for those people in your life that have been there, that have been helping you, cheerleading you along, holding you to account, and giving you fresh ideas. So that's it for this week. Thank you again for listening. I haven't managed to do one of those plugs you're supposed to do at any point during that session. That just goes to show how carried away I got by all the random noises that were coming past. I would love it if you could subscribe to the weekly email. You'll find out that at www.katiequinney.com/subscribe. There's been a few freebies given away in the last couple of weeks, all related to gratitude. And I'll put the links to those in the show notes, as well as those links to those references that I've made today. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week in the Leadership Lounge.